And welcome back to Data Watarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Len Stacy, and today joining me in studio are Jessica Oh as well as Ryan Montour. So I guess going back just before the break, was this the time when you realized things were just out of control and you needed to do something with your life?
Yeah. What I like to tell people, you know, like don't wait for to be in prison, you know. Don't wait till you're watching painted bricks and bars, you know, and that's where I found myself. So I needed to make steps to, you know, to fix myself.
So I guess when you finally chose sobriety, what were the methods of recovery that worked for you? Because you were very clear in what you needed to know why and how, and I got the sense, you know, it was going to be a different road for you.
Yeah, it was a different road. I think I utilized all three different methods of how people get sober. You know, people go to AA, people go to personal counseling, and people go to traditional counseling. I incorporated all three into my healing process. Inside, I did the National Medium Addictions Awareness Program, and that started to open my eyes. Why do we pass by this certain road on our way home so we can look in the bar, you know? And it just started to open my eyes and make me realize. And I had a kid in there from Saint Laurent, and he was just acting like a kid that wasn't ready to, you know, ready to surrender. You know, when you surrender, it opens up your eyes. And I said, okay, that's how I used to sound. You know, and I said, I'm going to start to change this. And I worked on the national program for that. And when I just got to a minimum security prison, federal penitentiary, you know, they help with your reintegration into the community. So, you know, we did some sweats inside, you know. I joined the Native Pathways program. I started beading, you know. Who beads? You know? Who beads? But it was part of our recovery. I made a wampum belt, 4,616 beads on it.
Wow.
You know, and it was my life story. From when I was young, I used to play hockey to baseball.
Yes, that's true.
And it was why I'm here, why I'm in jail, you know. And I put the death of my brother, all incorporated onto this wampum belt, you know. The death of my brother, the Mercier Bridge, 1990, water under the bridge, you know, the army fighting with us. It's all on my belt. I have it at my house.
Was that therapeutic and helpful for you?
Every bead that you put on that belt reminds you, gives you memories, and it helps with the healing process, you know. So that was a very big part of my recovery inside, you know. Of course, it's not tailor needs.
Yeah.
It's not tailor made for people from Ganawagi,
yeah.
You know. But that's what they did,
and I think what I was trying to point out is for you that was something that helped you that may not help other people. But again, it's a road because you laid out your life, and it's a reminder for you that, you know.
Yeah, and I still have it. It's in my drawer, you know. The second part of my plan was to, you know, they can't just let you out. Yeah, somebody has died here. You know, you need to prove us you're safe for society. So I continued with my personal addictions counselor. You know, at Onondaga Treatment Center. They followed me all the way through until eventually we had my counselor had to take a leave of absence, and I had to work with the Justice Committee in Ganawagi, KSCS. So I was seeing the halfway house counselors, Onondaga treatment counselors, KSCS counselors, and they introduced me to the most powerful medicine of all, which is the Healing Lodge. You know, we call it the House of Pain. You know, because you go through pain. You think you went through healing and rehabs and all that. That's nothing. When you dig deep down inside and you find out your true traumas, you know, you fight. You can say the words back to the person that you couldn't as a little boy what you witnessed, you know. And as a little adolescent, you know, you can fight back now. With the personal sweats that I did, I also did reconnection ceremonies. You know, a couple of other ceremonies that were tailored to me, you know. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up, I wasn't long house, you know, I wasn't a big traditional person, and I was skeptical of this traditional healing. I'm like, how do I know it's gonna work, you know? And she's like, don't worry, it's gonna work.
So let me ask you, did it work?
It worked.
Okay.
It worked. It's very powerful, and to this day, that's one of my biggest things. I will never disrespect the medicine. You know, I made promises to myself. I made promises to other people. You know, I made the promise to the spirit of Eric Bertrand, you know. And I don't like to say that I'm sober 7 years, you know, because I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I like to say I'm sober at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You know, I try to maintain my sobriety, you know, and I try to work my personal healing plan, you know. I also do a lot of AA, you know. I mean, not as much as people would love me to, you know, but at the same time, you got to walk the walk, you know. You can't just go to therapy, you know. I used to go 6 days a week when I got out. Finally, my workload was reduced, and you know, you have to take on a role and responsibility in the family unit, you know. What's my role? What's my responsibility? You know, the woman has her role and her responsibility. For me, you know, I needed to start working, you know. And I started working on the outside 3 years, doing welding, you know. I took over the division. Within 3 years, I ran the division, you know. It's a big division. We cleared $1.2 million, but, you know, my division made $650,000, you know, and I was basically in charge of it.
Do you get worried about maintaining your lifestyle?
Do I get worried? Sure, why not? You know, I'm not perfect, and I want to tell people that sobriety does not make your life perfect. There's still the same problems you had as when you were drunk, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when you were using, you know. sobriety, you know, the arguments we have in my house is over the heat, you know.
And, you know, every family has a problem.
Some people like the heat, some people don't, you know. Little petty problems, you know, or I do too much community service, or, you know, like, because I'm in the search and rescue unit, just petty arguments like that, you know. We don't spend enough time together, you know, stuff like that. It's not, where's the money for this bill?
Yeah.
You know, there's no ashtray smell in the morning, you know. There's no beer bottles all over my table. And the greatest thing is the kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what are they seeing, you know? They're seeing a man and a woman who are going to work every day. They ain't drinking. There's no parties in the house, you know. And that's a big part of our lifestyle growing up, you know. I mean, that's how I maintain it, you know. And like I said, I'm not perfect.
So let me ask you, why did you want to come and share your story of sobriety? Because I think that's important as
well.
Yeah,
obviously, I want the people to not obviously ask for help, right? That's the one thing I didn't do for myself, and look at the consequences. You know, it was 7 years ago. It was a very long journey for me to get this far and this comfortable with myself back. But the number one reason that I wanted to come on here was because there's kids out there, you know, that are making the same decisions, that are life changing in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
You know, they are drinking and driving. There's an epidemic of drug abuse, opioid use in this town. You know, nobody's talking about it. You know, our kids are hooked on pills, and it's heroin. Heroin is the stuff that is going to kill you. You know, and I'll let Jessica jump in to tell her what heroin does to the body. You know, and that's my number one concern, is obviously the future generations.
And I've come on the show a couple of times, you know, to talk about opiates in pill form. You know, when we're talking about, you know, you often hear about OxyContin, the Dilaudids, and because they have different names, people don't realize that it's really just, you know, a pharmaceutical grade heroin. There's not a huge difference, you know, on maybe a chemical scale, but your body doesn't recognize the difference, your brain doesn't recognize the difference. And when you mix these pills, especially with alcohol,
right,
it depresses your central nervous system. You're running the risk of your heart stopping and your breathing stopping, and that's how an overdose happens. And with fentanyl, we're finding that it's being mixed into everything. Yeah. And you don't know what you're buying, because just because it looks like it was made in a legitimate pharmaceutical lab, chances are it wasn't. There are tons of different kinds of counterfeit pills in opioid form where they probably contain fentanyl. It's a huge risk that people are taking. And it gets even more complicated because, you know, we don't just have the opioids, but we have the benzodiazepines. We hear a lot about Xanax. We have a lot of teens who are using Xanax.
Yeah.
Again, it's a counterfeit pill. Just last year, there was a seizure in Laval of millions of counterfeit Xanax pills. And the when they went into seize the unmixed materials, there was fentanyl there. So it's being mixed in with your counterfeit pills. Just because you think you're getting Xanax, chances are it's not Xanax.
No.
And not only that, but what we hear from Addictions Response Services is that for their youth who are abusing these counterfeit Xanax pills, they're not taking what would be considered a medical dose to deal with anxiety. They're taking sometimes 6, 7, 8 times the dose. They're taking it at very dangerous levels, and they're quite often combining it with alcohol, which increases the effects of the Xanax. And then the Xanax counteracts with the alcohol so that they don't really notice the effects of the alcohol, so they don't feel like they're getting drunk, so they drink more, which again increases the risk of an overdose. So we really need to, you know, look at what's going on with our youth. And, you know, talking about emotions. What are you feeling? Why do you feel this? We need to make sure our youth feel safe, that they're not scared. You know, and I had asked Ryan yesterday when we were talking about the show, what were the emotions you were trying to cover up?
You know, you have them all as a teenager, especially for teenagers. It's lack of self-confidence, number one. You know, peer pressure is big in this town, you know. People, you know, like what I like to do for me and what all Mohawks would like to do for their people is lead from the front, right? You lead from the front and the rest will follow. That's what we should be doing, you know. Our politicians should be involved. Our police force should be involved. It's not up to our prevention workers and community members to get this problem out there. It's out there. It's an epidemic. And for the teenagers that are driving on these pills, you know, guess where you're going to be? No questions asked, you're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody dies. You get in a fight in a bar. Well, the first thing they do, they don't ask you your name or number. They test your blood for drugs. You get in a fight, somebody falls down, knocks, hits their head, they're dead. Boom, you're in jail. 2 years, see you later. You know, or whatever, how many times. And we see the case that's all over. It's all over this town. And I want to try to fight it, you know. I will always fight. Now, you know, I think my role has changed as from my personal healing to community protection, I guess you would call it. But community healing.
Yeah, but I guess is that one of the things, and we can talk a little bit about together we will heal, you know, and I think that I just wanted to bridge it back to that. Is that like one of the goals? Is that what you're looking at too? I apologize. I can't say the Mohawk name, but, you know.
Skatnedi Dewayawanda.
Yeah.
Together we will heal. I was asked to be a part for the construction part of this, and I said, wow, you guys have a great idea. This is what the community needs, you know, and I will definitely support you 1,000%, and I'm part of this group,
yeah.
You know, and I'm proud to be, because it's a grassroots initiative, you know. I mean, these are just concerned community members trying to get this message out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the greatest part about this group.
So before we wrap things up, and now that we're talking about recovery, there will be a new recovery group starting at KSCS, and it's going to be run by Addictions Response Services. And there's going to be 8 sessions, and it's going to start March 19th. It's going to be Mondays from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Family Wellness Center. They're going to have guest speakers every week presenting on a variety of topics related to addiction and recovery. You know, they'll be talking about 12-step programs, coping with cravings, mindfulness, meditation, talking about culture, spirituality, a lot of the things we've touched on through the last five, six shows. So for people who are interested in participating in this group, you can always call KSCS. Ask to speak with intake. The phone number is 450-632-6880. The deadline to apply is Thursday, March 15th.
So I guess we have a few minutes, maybe a minute or two, but if you want to say some parting words, you know, to the community and...
To the person that's still suffering out there, you know, use me as an example, you know, of what not to do. But also as an example of what to do when you are in trouble. There's so many ways to get help, but the number one reason is to say, okay, listen, man, I need help. And you need help and you find that. You can find it everywhere in this town, you know, especially now where people are getting more aware of it, you know. I love that the attitude of drinking and driving is changing in this town, you know. I love the fact that there are different ways to get help in this town. You know, our options are unlimited. You know, if you come and ask me, I will lead you in the direction of where to get help. You know.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming in and sharing your story. A parting word here from Jessica.
Just a reminder for anybody out there who has questions, who wants help, wants to know where they can start. Again, you can give us a call. Ask to speak with intake at KSCS, 450-632-6880. And I want to thank all of our guests who've been on the show.
Well, thank you, guys. This has been a great, interesting journey. Coming up tomorrow on the Day the Wadarta Party Line Talk Show is the All Gonna Get Help Party Line Show with Jose Donalio. Up next with the 1 o'clock news is Paul Grafe. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Onigewahi.